Lord, we're asking for a special awareness of your presence this morning. We're asking you in surrender to be our teacher, Holy Spirit. We're asking you, Jesus, to make us aware that you are here with us. You're always with us, but make us aware. Come. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Abba Father, you are welcome here. You're welcome. Please lead us into truth, Holy Spirit, I pray. Open our eyes that we might see, our ears that we might hear, that you might change us, I pray, through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This time the children, kindergarten to sixth grade, would be dismissed for children's church downstairs. And for everyone else, invite you to open a Bible if you have a copy, or put it on a phone, open on a phone or tablet, whatever you may have, whatever form of scripture you may have, to Matthew chapter 13. Now, some of you are undoubtedly probably confused a little right now, because last week I told you that I would not be preaching, but that one of our new regional team leader, Reverend David Loffer, would be here to preach this morning. And Tuesday, I was driving to district conference in Butler. Every year in the fall in October, we have the gathering of our district workers at a district church, and there's messages and worship, and there's some business that needs to be done and things like that. It's a three-day thing, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And as I'm driving there Tuesday morning, the Lord gave me a word to share. And I'm thinking, well, when am I supposed to share this, Lord? Because I'm not preaching this Sunday. Maybe it's for the 13th or some other time, or some other time along the way this word will be for. And Wednesday night, David Loffer came to me and said, I have a scheduling conflict. I can't be there on Sunday. I'm so sorry. And then the Lord made it very clear why he had given me a word on Tuesday. And so with that in mind, I believe this is the word of the Lord for us. I please know every Sunday I do believe that I receive a word from the Lord for us through his word. But I do believe that this morning he's given us his word in this message. Let's read Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 53 to 58. When Jesus had finished these parables, and Matthew 13 is all about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God looks like, as he shared various parables. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, and coming to his hometown of Nazareth, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Not what you would expect, right? Being amazed, you would think they would say, this is amazing. Tell us more. But they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Pay attention specifically to verse 58. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So, growing up, I played basketball, and some of you know that basketball got the better of me as I got older and moving here and played basketball with guys that were a little too young for me at 38 when it happened and tore my ACL and meniscus, and that's now basketball is coaching my kids along with running around with them a little bit, but I'm learning wisdom. But when I was playing basketball in high school, our coach specifically was a coach who loved to see three-point shots made and taken. And his philosophy was score as many points as you can and try to outscore the other team. Play good defense, but, you know, score as much as you can. And the only way to score is if you do what? Shoot. So he had a phrase that wasn't original to him, but he had a phrase that he used. It was this. You miss 100% of the shots that you do not take. Okay? You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. What's he saying? If you don't shoot it, you can't make it. His philosophy was, the more you shoot, even if you're not that good, eventually you're going to make some. So even if you're not shooting well that game, just keep letting it fly. Now, as a player, you can imagine that was music to a player's ears, right? You want me not just to hold the ball or to look for somebody else. If I'm halfway open, you want me just to fire that thing up? Yep, that's what I want. Because you miss 100% of the shots that you do not take. This morning, I want to talk specifically about healing and about faith. Last several weeks, we've been just talking about vision a little bit and reminding ourselves we believe that the Lord wants us to be a place where Christ's presence brings life and healing and restoration. You know, asking for healing and praying for healing is similar to that whole adage of you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. In that 100% of the people who don't ask for healing don't get healed. 100% of the people who you feel burdened to pray for, but you're not quite sure that you want to step out, 100% of those people, if you do not step out and say, can I pray for healing for you through your life, guess what? You're not going to see them be healed. 100% of the relational conflicts that you have, if you don't bring them to the Lord or bring them to others to have them pray with you, 100% of those you will probably not see there be reconciliation for. 100% of the people who have emotional or spiritual problems in any way, if they don't bring it before the Lord, if they don't bring others into it, 100% of those people are probably not going to be healed. And you're probably going to not see 100% of the people that you don't share Christ with not come to Christ, right? If you don't share the gospel, 100% of the people that you don't share Christ with are not going to hear it through you and have the opportunity to come to Christ. So this morning, my message title is simple. Just go and take a shot. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? If the miraculous only happens once in 100 times, you're one time ahead than if you hadn't in the first place, right? If you pray for 100 people to be healed and one person does, you have one more than you had before. If you share the gospel with 100 people and 99 reject it, but one comes to Christ, you're one ahead of what you would have had if you hadn't. If one time you have the common cold and instead of running to the medicine cabinet or you have a headache and instead of running to the medicine cabinet first, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, would you bring healing to me? If one time out of 100, boy, God's done something miraculous. Oftentimes we don't see the miraculous happen because we don't take the step. We don't take a shot. So let's be people who take a shot. Let's talk through this for a few moments this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 14. Just turn a few pages back. I just want to reference one other time that Jesus went home. And that's in Luke chapter 4. So if you're in Matthew, make your way towards the back a little bit. Mark, then Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is such an interesting section because Jesus has just been baptized. He's been in the desert for 40 days, fasting and praying. Satan has tempted him. And he comes out, it says in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So I want you to imagine you're from Dorseyville, and you've gone out, and you've been across the river in Verona, and you've gone down to the University of Pittsburgh campus, and you've been preaching, and God's been using you, and people are coming to faith, and miracles are happening as people, as you're praying, God's doing amazing things through you. And then you go down to the Mon Valley, and then you go across to the South Hills, and then you come back up 79279, you're in the North Hills, you're over Ross Park Mall and doing all kinds of stuff, and there's crazy stuff happening. You even go up to Cranberry, and there's crazy stuff happening. God's doing amazing things in your life. And word all around the region is beginning to spread. There's so-and-so. God's doing amazing things through them. And you come back to Dorseyville, where you're from. And this is what happens to Jesus. He went up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And I imagine, because this was not just a random thing where he decided to open the scroll up to Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 through 3, which was a prophetic word about what the Messiah would do. He didn't just open it up and decide, this is where I'm going to read. On this very day, at this very time, on the day he shows up to the synagogue in Nazareth, this is the reading for the day. And it's handed to him, and he reads it. And you can imagine he reads it and just goes and just sits down. Everybody's eyes are on him. And I can imagine he didn't just pause for a second. He let it settle in. You know those moments of just awkward silence? Somebody do something, somebody say something. I think Jesus kind of let it settle in. And then he says, with everyone's eyes in the synagogue fastened on him, he began by saying to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He begins his ministry by saying, what you've been waiting for in Isaiah 61, where the Spirit of the Lord is on the deliverer, the Messiah, the Savior, where the good news is proclaimed, where healing and deliverance comes, where it's the year of the Lord's favor in me, it's fulfilled. Everyone would have understood what he was saying. He is the promised Messiah. Verse 22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And then they asked this question, isn't this Joseph's son? In the rest of the passage, he begins to share about the fact that Elijah, the prophet, wasn't sent to those who you would have thought would have been the widows that he would have gone to minister to and to have the Lord's provision. It was to those on the outside looking in. And this riled them all up because they were expecting that God was going to do something just for them, not for the whole world. And look what happens at the end of the passage after he tells them. All the people of the synagogue in verse 28 were furious when they heard this. And they got up and they drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. So imagine, you're doing all this all around the Pittsburgh region and word is spreading and you come home and you declare, "I am the one that you've been waiting for." And everybody who's watched you grow up since you were just a wee little one turn on you and take you to the closest hill to push you off the cliff to kill you. How about that for a warm reception? But verse 30 says he walked right through the crowd and went on his way because it wasn't his time yet. Fast forward to Matthew chapter 13, back to where we started. This is Jesus' second trip. It's a return trip. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be going home if that was how they treated me last time. But he goes home again. He comes to his hometown. He's teaching the people in the synagogue again. They're amazed. And they start to ask him, they start to ask one another, where does he get his powers from? We know who his mom is. We know who his dad was. We know who his brothers and sisters are. We know all about him. Is this really the one? How did he get all of this? And because of the familiarity, Jesus says only in his hometown is, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And in the only place where it's recorded in this way, only in Nazareth did he not do many miracles. Why? Because of their lack of faith. Friends, I want you to know this morning, I'm not saying if you just believe enough, if you believe hard enough, if you just muster up enough faith that you can do anything and anything can happen. Our faith is in Jesus, who's the healer. Our faith is in Jesus, who is the Savior. Our faith is in Jesus, who is our sanctifier and makes us more like him. Our faith is in Jesus, who's coming back as our coming King. Our faith is in Jesus for life and healing and restoration. Our faith is in him and him alone. And so he said, even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell the mountain to go do that. It's not about the quality or how big your faith is. It's about who your faith is in. So I'm not saying in any way that this is about how much faith you have and if you just got to get enough faith and you're going to go do anything. But I am saying this, if you lack faith and don't have faith, you can hinder the work of God in your life. If you don't believe, if you just choose to say no, then you're not going to go take the steps to see things happen. Lack of faith. He did not do many miracles because of unbelief, because of their lack of faith. What does lack of faith look like for us? Well, there's many things. Five came to mind. You probably can come up with some extras. Here's five. One is very simple. You don't believe in Jesus. You're probably not going to see much happen if you don't believe in Jesus. If he's not your Savior and your Lord. But the good thing is, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you choose to turn to him, if you choose to place your faith in him, you'll see salvation come to your life. And that'll set you on the journey of seeing potentially God do amazing things in your life and through your life. So one of the beginning place is just for lack of faith is you don't believe Jesus is who he says he is. And so if that's where you're at and you're wrestling and you're saying, I'm not sure if I believe in this Jesus, I would just encourage you. I love pointing people this direction. Look in the book of John, the Gospel of John. Read it. Go through it. Because in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, this is who I am. And it brings us to a place where we have to decide, is Jesus really who he says he was? And if he is, well, now I've got a decision to make. Am I going to place my faith in him or am I going to reject him? And so Book of John is a great place just to see who Jesus is. Second reason, second possibility of lack of faith, what it may look like. Sometimes it comes from a modernistic, scientific reason mindset. The modernistic, scientific reason mindset says this: we cannot and should not believe what we don't understand. Healing is a supernatural thing. Salvation is a supernatural thing. So the scientific, modernistic, reason-based thing says, if I can't quantify it and there's not a way to be able to say, this is how it makes sense, step one, step two, step three, these are all the reasons, I can line them up, and so therefore the evidence points to it, well, then I'm not going to believe it. So you got to understand, if there's a God who is supernatural, who is spirit, and he breaks into your life, many times you're not going to be able to quantify it, and you're not going to be able to put reason and science and all these things on it because it's a different realm. But yet the scriptures talk about it. And so lack of faith, unbelief can just look like, well, if I can't explain it, then I'm not going to go after it. Third reason, disappointment. And this one I believe is huge. You've had physical things in your life, and you've had people pray for you. You may have even had people give you prophetic words or words of knowledge and say, God's going to heal you, and you really believed, and you're like, yeah, God's going to do it, God's going to do it, and nothing happened. And it's been years. And so you've kind of lost faith that Jesus can do it because of disappointment. Or there's been that person who you love dearly, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. Maybe they got a cancer diagnosis or some other kind of diagnosis that was not good. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and you really believed that God could heal them. And they died. And that disappointment has put you in a place where you're like, I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I have faith anymore that God can heal, because look, I believed and I prayed and I asked, and that didn't happen. Friends, the reality is not everybody gets healed on this side of eternity. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you this, you will be healed. However, healing may not come on this side of eternity. Your healing may come through the doorway of death, where there will be no more pain or sorrow or sickness or anything. Jesus paid for our healing, but sometimes we don't realize it and don't experience it here on this side. And even when people are healed, they still die if Jesus doesn't come back first. Healing is a gracious, loving act of God in this life that shows his power and his glory and his goodness. But it's not a total fix until all that is wrong is made right when Jesus returns. And so if you're wrestling with it and you've pulled back some, just go take a shot. Re-engage. And know that our God loves you with an everlasting love, and he's a God of great comfort. And he walks us. Jesus is the good shepherd of Psalm 23 who walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. And so even when we don't see healing come, he walks with us. And he comforts us. And he loves on us. And he strengthens us and he upholds us. And many times, the holding, caring, sustaining power of God can be even more powerful of a demonstration of our God's presence and love and power than a person who is healed. To see somebody walk through difficulty and be able to say, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." You know, the end of that song, and on that day when my faith, I forget the exact lyrics, basically when death comes, boy, we'll have all the reasons. But until then, we still have reason. And this is where we as a family need to walk beside one another, and when people don't get healed or when people lose a loved one because they didn't see their loved one receive healing, this is where we walk with each other and we comfort one another and we grieve with one another. When people are healed, we rejoice with one another. We stand with one another. We walk through not just the good things, but we get down and dirty in the ugly things, and we support one another and love one another and pray with one another for sustaining power of Christ through even the most difficult of circumstances. But don't let it keep you from taking a shot again. Don't let disappointment hold you back. Fourth, don't believe in Jesus. Modern scientific reason mindset, disappointment from the past. Fourth one, and this one I think is a big one for us as well. A fear of looking foolish if you pray for somebody and they don't get healed. I've been there. I've been there many times. I feel the urge to pray for somebody, and I'm like, what if I go and pray for them and nothing happens, and I walk away going, oh boy, I feel stupid. Listen, healing's not up to you. He has asked us to pray for people. That's all our job is. It's to pray for people and take a shot. And you may be a person who has asked for healing for that thing in your life over and 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 over, and nothing's happened yet. Don't let the fear of other people looking at you be like, oh, they're asking for prayer again, to hold you back. Because until the Lord tells you don't ask for healing anymore, you keep asking for healing. You keep praying for it. You keep inviting others to pray for you as well. Take a shot. Don't let fear hold you back. And the last one, sometimes we just don't believe in healing. Sometimes we just don't believe in healing. And I think we need to wrestle with the scriptures and just see what God says about healing. You know, we believe in our denomination that Jesus is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. We believe he heals still today. One last scripture I want to show you, and that is just to hold on to, is Isaiah chapter 53. So let's go there for a moment, and then we'll wrap up. I'll tell you a story, and we'll wrap up. Isaiah 53, this is where we base the work and the opportunity for healing on. Isaiah chapter 53 is a prophetic description of Jesus about 600 years before he went to the cross. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Surely he," and we understand now he's talking about Jesus, "surely he took up our infirmities," our weaknesses, our sickness, "carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions," all of our sins. "He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By his wounds we are healed." In Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law and all night is up healing sicknesses and diseases and casting out evil spirits of people and ministering all night, it said this was done to fulfill Isaiah 53. "Surely he took up our sicknesses and our infirmities and carried our diseases." Jesus' work on the cross paid for our healing spiritually, the forgiveness of our sin. But he also took upon himself all of the sickness, all of the disease, all of the infirmities of this world that have come because of the brokenness that has come from sin. And he paid for not only our spiritual healing, but our physical healing. We believe that Jesus' work on the cross brings the means for healing as well physically. Physically and emotionally and relationally, and all of these forms of healing. And so we hold on to it with that great hope that I said earlier, all believers in Christ will be healed. Whether it's now or whether it's one day when we meet him face to face. So can we be people who it's not said of? The people of the Dorseyville Alliance Church did not see many miracles happen because of their lack of faith. Whatever would be the hindrances to our faith, may it not be said of us that the Dorseyville Alliance Church was a place where Jesus could not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. Maybe people who take a shot because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. 100% of the things that we don't ask for, we don't pray for, we don't bring before him, 100% of the people we don't share the gospel with, we will not see. So let's take a shot and trust it all into his care, because he's a God who does miraculous still. I told you to tell you a story. Coming up on now 3 weeks ago, I believe, at Young at Heart. Young at Heart is our seniors ministry. And we were there, and I was about to head down to Young at Heart. Starts at 11:30 with lunch, and I was about to head down. And about 2 minutes before I got down there, I got a pain in my neck. And it was this weird, sharp pain, and it went all the way down my neck and down into my shoulder. And it hurt bad. And I was like, boy, what did I do? Just like all of a sudden, out of the blue, this pain came. Like, man, that's weird. What did I do? So I came down to Young at Heart, sat down. And all the time at Young at Heart, there's a beginning time and opportunity for prayer requests to be able to pray for people who are in need. And there was only one prayer request that day. I've asked him if I could share the story. He's given me permission. Rod Conley, some of you know, said, I got pain in my neck, and it's a bone spur in my neck, and I can't, it hurts really bad, and I can't move my neck very much. Now, in that moment, I've had times before where I, out of nowhere, feel pain in my body, and I begin to understand it's not my pain. It's kind of a word of knowledge to be able to say that God communicates by his Spirit to say there is somebody with pain and this is what you need to look for because I want to do something in their life. And so when I heard that, I was like, okay, I think I know what this is. So we prayed for him, and after prayer, we were getting time to eat. I went up to him and I said, Rod, is the pain about right here? And does it go right around down there? And I pointed exactly. He's like, oh, yeah, that's exactly it. I said, all right, we're going to have to pray for you after. We went through the program, and I still had the pain. And went up to him after and prayed in the name of Jesus and prayed. And he said, oh, is there anything different? And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't hurt as bad. He wasn't able to move his neck. And what I found out after that was that he had had one of these before, and it had grown down into his spinal cord and had paralyzed him temporarily until that was able to be surgically repaired. And he was saying, I'm going to have to go and get an appointment with the neurosurgeon to get this taken care of because I don't want that to happen again. So we prayed, and he's like, yeah, it's kind of feeling better. And I said, all right, we're going to trust the Lord for the full completion of that. He's getting ready to leave, and he comes out, and he's like, Pastor, look, I wasn't able to do this before. He's turned his head. I'm like, is the pain there? No, pain's not there. Called him next day. How's the pain? Oh, it's gone. It's fine. Praise the Lord. Called him this morning just to make sure I could share this story. How's your pain? Oh, it's gone. It hasn't come back. It's perfect. Praise the Lord. He's off to church. I share that story because God still does this. I wholeheartedly believe, and I've seen God do it in my life, in others' lives, and not because of anything of us, but because of him. I've seen him do it in many people's lives. He is still a God who heals today. But I can tell you this, if we don't have faith that he does, and we don't step out and ask or pray for others, 100% of those things will not happen through us. God can still do it, and he's big enough, he's going to find somebody else to do it, but we won't see it. Because 100% of the shots you don't take, you miss. So let's be people who go for it. So, you can't preach about healing and not give opportunity for prayer, right? So just right where we are, what if the culture of our church became more and more, if we believe that God wants us to be a place of life and healing and restoration, what if every single Sunday we just gave opportunity in the midst of our service to receive prayer for healing? And just let God do what God wants to do. So if this morning, and we're not going to make this a big production in any way because it doesn't need to be. God's going to do his thing. If there's any sort of need for healing, there's a a physical need in your body, if there is emotional needs in your life, just struggles that you're having emotionally, if there are relational needs, because this healing, Jesus is a healer of broken relationships. If there are marital relationships or just friendships that are broken, or there's family strife or struggle in some way, shape, or form, pray for that. If there are things like depression or anxiety, pray for that. And even as we were worshiping, the word that came to my mind, and it makes perfect sense because we just gave a lot, and that's the word tired. If you're just tired, to pray for that. So if where you're at, if there is a need that you have that you want to bring before Jesus the healer, I'm not going to ask you to go yell those out, share those, or anything like that, but just to stand before the Lord in an act of faith and say, I believe that you are my healer. If you want to just stand right now where you're at. All right, so let's just join in prayer together. If you're not standing up and you're near somebody, if you just want to stand up as well and just put a hand on a person next to you, if there's somebody near you that is standing, just to lay a hand on them if you would like to do that. And so let's just join together and agree together in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, we acknowledge that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jesus, we acknowledge and we declare that you are the promised Messiah of Isaiah 53, that you have taken upon yourself our infirmities, our iniquities, our sicknesses, our diseases. By your stripes, we are healed. It's been paid for. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are the one who brings the presence of Jesus and applies the work of Jesus to our life. And so in the name of Jesus, Father, we come because there's no other name under heaven that has the power of the name of Jesus. And so, Jesus, in your name, we pray for healing. For my brothers and sisters this morning, Father, where there are physical aches and pains, where there are sicknesses, where there are medical conditions that have been ongoing and have not had resolution, I pray in the name of Jesus for healing. Father, where there is anxiety and depression, where there is a lowness, a darkness, in the name of Jesus, pray for healing. Father, where there's just weariness and tiredness, whether it be physical or spiritual or emotional, wherever the tiredness has its root in, I pray for fresh energy, for fresh healing, for a renewal of life. Father, where there are marriages that are in difficulty and conflict, we pray for peace and healing in the name of Jesus. Father, where there are alienation of children and parents, where relationships are in struggle, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for reconciliation and healing. Father, where friendships have been barred, where there's been conflict, where friendships have been broken, we ask for healing in the name of Jesus. Father, you are our healer. And for many other ways that healing needs to come, Father, we ask that your Spirit would bring it according to the will of the Father. Jesus, may you increase our faith in you as healer. And Father, I pray that you would give us boldness to be able to pray for others, to pray for others who are in need of healing as well. For Lord, we just want to be in a place where you can use us, where you can use us, O Lord. So, Father, pray blessing over my brothers and sisters, over my friends, and we trust you, Jesus, because you are the healer to bring healing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you very much. You may be seated. So I read from Isaiah 53. About Jesus being the one who has taken all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, all of our iniquities, our sins upon him. And so now we come to the table. where we remember the crucified Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His body broken for us, his blood shed for us. As we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do so in remembrance of him. You do not have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a regular attender of this church. If you're a member of the family of God, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we welcome you to this table together. If there are things relationally that you know that there's still some need in your heart to make things right with others, or if there's some stuff in your life between you and God that you need to get right, just take this time to do that. Apostle Paul warns that some have taken communion in an unworthy way and actually brought sickness upon themselves, even to the point of death. And so we want to make sure we are taking it in a right manner. And so if you're just needing to work some stuff out, take this time not to take those elements, but just to spend some time with you and God. This is a time where we together gather around the table, acknowledging that our God, through Christ, has made provision for all forgiveness and healing. And one day all things will be made right. Invite those who are going to serve to come at this time, to wait upon us and to serve. And I would like for us to do this in two ways. A lot of times we just take it and we eat of it together. But this first time as we eat the bread, you know, the work of Jesus is both individual and it's corporate. He has saved us personally, but he has saved us together into a family, into a body, into the body of Christ. And so as we eat the bread, I want to give you time just to reflect upon the Lord and upon what he has done for you personally. And so when you are ready, take these moments, reflect with him, give thanksgiving to him. When you are ready, eat of the bread. I'm not going to instruct us all to do it at the same time. When we have the cup together, we'll come back together and we will take of the cup together then. But right now, spend some time just you and the Lord reflecting upon what he has done for you personally at the cross. And so, Father, we thank you for the work of Jesus and we pray for fresh encounter with you as we remember Christ, his death for us. And so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you." Jesus. We thank you for your work on the cross and its personal impact to each of us. We are grateful. We thank you in Jesus' name. And after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," instructing them as often as they eat of the bread and drink of the cup that they would do it in remembrance of him. As you receive the cup, hold on to it, and after everyone has been served, we will drink the cup together. On this Lord's Day, there are literally billions of people who are gathering around the world in the name of Jesus. Because the work of Jesus isn't just for me. It's not just for you, and it's not just for us here. But it's for everyone on the face of the earth who will call upon the name of Jesus. They will be saved. His work is a global work. His work is for every language and tribe and nation and tongue. And one day, as we gather around the throne in heaven, there will be representatives from every language, tribe, nation, and tongue on the face of the earth, every people group. Because the blood of Christ is for all. We are part of something so much bigger than just me. But though we thank the Lord for what he has done for me, we exalt him as the Savior.